Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Night of the Long Knives Hitlers, Excision of Rome's S.A. Brownshirts, 30 June to 2 July 1934, by Phil Karatis examines the purge that reshaped the Nazi state in a matter of days. Set in the tense early years of Hitler's rule, the book focuses on the clash between the regular army, conservative elites, and the Nazi Party's own paramilitary force, the SA led by Ernst Röhm. Karatis frames the event as more than an internal party dispute, presenting it as a decisive moment in which violence, propaganda, and legal manipulation combine to eliminate rivals and intimidate the nation. The narrative follows the buildup of fear about the SA's ambitions, the plotting among senior Nazis, and the rapid coordinated arrests and killings that followed. By concentrating tightly on 30 June through 2 July 1934, the book highlights how quickly authoritarian power can consolidate when coercive institutions align. It is written for readers who want a focused, accessible account of a turning point in the history of terror series. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the SA, Röhm, and the power struggle inside Nazism. A central topic is why the SA became both indispensable and intolerable to Hitler. The SA had helped the Nazi movement rise through street violence, intimidation, and a mass presence that made political opponents feel unsafe. Under Ernst Röhm, it also developed a revolutionary self-image, imagining a second phase of the Nazi revolution that would replace traditional elites and absorb or dominate the professional army. Karatis treats this as the key fault line. The SA represented a populist radical force, while the army, big business, and conservative bureaucracy wanted stability and predictability. As Hitler moved from party leader to head of government, his priorities shifted toward reassuring the armed forces and securing the loyalty of state institutions. Röhm's personal closeness to Hitler did not remove the structural problem that the SA was too large, too unruly, and too politically ambitious. The book shows how rival Nazi figures could portray Röhm as a threat, not only to Germany, but to Hitler's own position. Understanding the SA versus army conflict clarifies why the purge was not an impulsive outburst, but a calculated step in state building. Secondly, engineering a pretext propaganda, panic, and alleged plots, another important topic is how the regime created justification for extraordinary violence. The purge was presented as a necessary response to treason, moral depravity, and an imminent coup. Even though the evidence for a coordinated uprising by the SA was highly contested and politically shaped, Karatis explores the ways senior Nazis and their allies used rumor, selective intelligence, and staged narratives to paint Röhm and his circle as dangerous. Claims of conspiracy helped recruit hesitant actors, especially within the army and conservative circles, who needed to believe that extreme measures would restore order rather than undermine it. The book also highlights how personal scandal could be weaponized for political ends, turning private behavior into public proof of unfitness and disloyalty. In this telling, propaganda is not an afterthought, but part of the mechanism of power. It enables murder to be reframed as national rescue. The topic also underscores a broader lesson about authoritarian systems, where the boundary between policing and politics collapses. Once the state asserts that emergency conditions exist, opponents can be eliminated quickly and then condemned afterward in carefully managed official stories. Thirdly, the mechanics of the purge arrests, executions, and coordination. Karatis gives close attention to how the operation unfolded across the narrow window of 30 June to 2 July 1934, emphasizing speed, coordination, and improvisation. The purge involved multiple agencies and power centers, including Hitler's personal entourage, elements of the SS, and police structures that could act rapidly once the order was given. This topic focuses on the practical reality of state terror lists are drawn up, targets are isolated, communications are controlled, and violence is carried out with a mixture of bureaucratic procedure and raw brutality. The book shows that victims were not limited to SA leadership, expanding to include political opponents and inconvenient figures who could be settled with under the cover of a broader crackdown. The event illustrates how a regime can use a single operation to solve several problems at once, eliminating internal rivals, intimidating potential critics, and demonstrating decisive leadership. By tracking the sequence of actions, the narrative clarifies that terror does not require a long timeline to be transformative. A few days of concentrated violence can reorder loyalties and create a lasting climate of fear, especially when the perpetrators claim legal and moral authority afterward. Fourthly, Hitler's consolidation of power and the rise of the SS. A key theme is how the purge served as a pivot in the Nazi power structure. By destroying the SA as an independent force, Hitler removed a mass movement element that could challenge centralized control. In its place, the SS emerged as a more disciplined instrument tied closely to leadership and ideology, better suited to policing and later institutionalized terror. Carattus presents the purge as a political signal to the army that Hitler would protect its status, which helped secure military acceptance at a crucial moment. This realignment had consequences far beyond party politics. It strengthened the regime's capacity to implement repression through professionalized, loyal structures. The topic also addresses how violence can function as a form of governance, communicating that loyalty is rewarded and ambiguity is punished. After the purge, elites could understand that survival depended on alignment with the leader rather than on institutions, law, or seniority. The book frames this as a decisive step toward the Führer principle in practice. Where authority flows from personal command, readers come away with a clearer picture of how authoritarian systems evolve, replacing chaotic revolutionary forces with more controlled mechanisms that can sustain long-term domination. Lastly, legalization of murder and the long shadow on German society, Carattus also explores the aftermath, particularly how the regime normalized the killings by retroactively presenting them as legitimate acts of state. This topic examines the erosion of law, where due process is replaced by political necessity, and where official decrees or public statements can convert murder into a form of alleged justice. The purge demonstrated to ordinary citizens and officials alike that there were no dependable legal limits when the regime defined itself as the guardian of national survival. Fear and conformity were reinforced not only by violence, but by the spectacle of the state explaining violence as moral cleansing and national defense. The book connects this moment to the broader trajectory of the Third Reich, in which extraordinary measures became routine and institutions were trained to obey. It also highlights how a targeted action can produce widespread compliance. Once a government shows, it can kill prominent insiders without consequence. Outsiders and lower-level figures have little reason to expect protection. The lasting impact is therefore psychological and institutional, shaping behavior across society. This topic helps readers understand the Night of the Long Knives as a foundational event in the creation of a terror state, not merely an episode of internal Nazi rivalry. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a focused, readable account of a pivotal moment in Nazi history without needing a large general survey of the entire Third Reich. General history readers and anyone interested in how authoritarian regimes consolidate power will benefit most, because the narrative illustrates the chain from political rivalry to state-sanctioned violence. It can improve a reader's understanding of modern politics by showing how leaders use crisis language, selective intelligence, and public justification to normalize extreme actions, and how institutions often adapt quickly when survival and career incentives are at stake, compared with broader works that treat the purge as a short chapter. Carattus's tight concentration on the specific dates and key actors makes the event easier to follow and more emotionally immediate, while still connecting it to the larger architecture of Nazi control. The book is worth buying if you want a compact study that clarifies motivations, logistics, and consequences rather than a dense academic monograph. Its value lies in making a complex turning point comprehensible and memorable, while highlighting enduring lessons about propaganda, legality, and the fragility of restraints on power. If you would like to support Phil Carattus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.